Hey, y'all. I just wanted to pop in before you listen to the first episode and say, I am so excited. You are on this new journey with me. Don't lie to your life coach, y'all. It's the podcast that I want to help you to feel connected to yourself again. If you're already connected, I want you to go deeper in that connection. I want you to experience the life that you want. And the reason why I did a podcast really was because, hey, ain't everybody gonna pay my rates to work with me one-on-one? And they're going up, y'all. Ain't everybody gonna pay that, right? And that's okay. Not everybody's gonna hop into one of my courses that I have. And that's okay, right? But this is available, always free for you to experience my philosophies, teachings, my coaching of you to feel the best in your life. And also, I want to say this, that my sincerest hope is for you to experience hope. I know some of us are on mental health journeys where hopelessness can definitely show up. And some of us are working with psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists. I am none of those. I am a coach. And I do love the way coaches work in tandem with other mental health professionals. But what I get to do is point out different things along your journey. So we're going to be talking about all the things. Like, I think I have an episode called C minus sex, and I've got some episodes on midlife vanity. By the way, I was looking in the mirror today, y'all, naked, and I was like, girl, you look good. Look at them hips pulling away from that waist. Boom, bow, sis, boom, bah. I was looking good. So anyway, the point is that we're going to talk about all the things that affect folks over 40. Okay. Now, my younger folks, please come join, listen. You get to hear some of the same things are affecting us that are affecting you. But I did want a space for people who are in the second portion of their life to feel their best. And so, yay, today is the day. Come every Wednesday, join me here. It's going to be a different episode. I literally have 7 years of topics. So bring your little cute ass here and come and enjoy and learn about, you know, what you want in your life and how to get it unapologetically. I had to say unapologetically. You just needed it unapologetically. All right, y'all, take a listen and holler at me on Facebook, on Instagram, leave a YouTube comment. All the videos will be turned into YouTube videos, so you'll be able to watch. And remember, I'm busy, you're busy. Go ahead, listen to the podcast on your walk. Listen to the podcast when you're, you know, if you're making dinner, someone's making dinner for you, I hope, because I never like making dinner. Take a listen when, you know, you're in the car going wherever, or if you're on the train or whatever you're doing. It pairs very well with you doing something else. That's how I like to listen to podcasts, at least. So I cannot wait. And mwah, y'all have a good one. Take a listen.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Don't Lie to Your Life Coach podcast with Kim Arrington. I'm Kim Arrington. I'm a life coach, a weight loss coach, an author, and a badass passionate about helping you connect back to your most authentic self. Join me here each week so I can coach you on how to think all those juicy thoughts that get you feeling your absolute best and taking some big ass action. Coaching has changed my life, and it can change your life too. I'm here to give you real life solutions to create a life you'll love. Because the truth is, boo, you ain't just got problems, you got options.
Well, I knew this was going to be the first podcast. Officially, welcome to Don't Lie to Your Life Coach Podcast. I am Kim Arrington. I think you heard the intro. You already know I'm a life coach. I'm a weight loss coach. I'm an author. I'm all these things. I'm looking to see if my camera is too dirty. Hold on, I'm going to wipe my... If you're watching me on YouTube, you see me wiping the camera right now. That's kind of my thing I do. Okay. I've recorded a lot of podcasts and nothing struck me as being the one. We do have some company. It's a little ass gnat flying around. I don't know why he doesn't just swan dive into my smoothie over there that's I left unconsumed, but he likes buzzing in my ear. So there you go. Today's topic is really close to me. I walk in the woods. You guys are going to hear a lot of hiking talk, a big hiker. I live across the street from a nature preserve. I walk there almost every day. And I was walking in the woods saying, what's going to be my first episode? And, you know, I'm having this conversation with spirit, my higher self. I don't know, Houdini. And it came to me that I hadn't recorded it yet, which, you know, it's kind of annoying when you've recorded almost 30 episodes, but I don't like recording the podcast when anyone's in the house. My husband went somewhere. I was like, let me seize this moment. But I was walking in there and I was like, what do I need to record about? And it just came to me so easily. I need to talk about, I just want my hope back. When I think about my life coaching clients, and recently, even when I think about myself, I just want my hope back. So you all think that life coaches don't go through shit, but we totally do. I teach you what I've learned. I teach you sometimes what I'm learning. I teach in process. I think that's so freaking honest to do that. And I'm as transparent as I can be about it. I don't have it all figured out. I don't even know if I want to have it all figured out, right? Like, I think the purpose of life is that. So as I was walking in the preserve, you know, I was like, I just want to reclaim my hope. I want to bring my hope back from places that I deposited it and forgot or didn't want to touch. And I want the same for you. This is the whole reason. People are going to ask me a million times, why are you doing a podcast? There's only one reason. I just want you to have your hope back. I want you to belong to yourself. That is you having your hope back. Fully, completely, lovingly to yourself. So let's talk about a tree falling on my car. Now, I can't go into deep into it for legal reasons, but my husband and I were on the way to dinner, a delicious Ethiopian dinner, and we saw a tree fall on another car, and my husband slammed on brakes, and then 2 minutes later-ish, a tree fell on our car. Car was absolutely mangled. Hard to see when a tree is on it, that I don't even know how much the tree weighed. Let's just say, I mean, that tree easily could have weighed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds. I don't know. But I was left without a scratch physically, emotionally. We got some work to do. Okay. My husband was injured. Not going to go deep into that. But it was an experience. Now, I'm not a big what if girl. I'm just not. I'm probably a little too practical for that because so many of the what ifs have happened in my life, you know. But obviously, when you could have died in that same weekend, in two separate incidences, two other people died, one in Asheville, North Carolina, which is in the mountains from where I am. I'm in Durham, and then one in New York with a tree falling on them or branches. And it's going to make you think about your life, right? I mean, if I like If I could show you the car, it was absolutely mangled. My side more untouched in the where I was, but absolutely mangled. So when a tree falls, when something happens to you, what are you left with? You know, obviously, we were happy to be alive. We could have been killed by inches, both of us. I'm so grateful our son, you know, my stepson, my husband's son, stayed back with his brother at their mom's house. Although a tree fell on that house too. Interesting, right? The whole thing I want to talk to you about, though, is what's next? So I don't do what if a lot. I do what now? What's next? And if you were to take this and to look at it for hope, right? What's next for you? So many of us are walking around with low levels of hope. Our hope has been depleted by work injuries. That's when something emotional happens at work. I'm not talking about a physical injury. Relationships that didn't work out. I can tell you that there is a gentleman who I loved in 2001 and 2002 and 2003 and 4 and 5. And he was not going to love me the way I needed to be loved. Big lessons. But when I was walking in the woods that day, I said to myself, he sure has a big deposit of a lot of my hope. And he ain't walking around thinking that. And in that moment, I was like, I'm taking that hope back. I literally said it. Now, that's an easier case. For some of us who have real trauma, it's not so easy. So this is what we're going to talk about in Don't Lie to Your Life Coach. By the way, where did the title come from? I was talking to a friend who I suggested go see a life coach, and she did go get a life coach. And she was talking to me and she was like, oh, my life coach's life seems so perfect. Everyone laughs in life coach when they say that. Your life coach is in process, I promise. My life coach's life seems so perfect. Her marriage seems so perfect. My marriage is going through all these things. And I just don't want to tell her the things that are going on. And I was like, yo, you ain't supposed to lie to the doctor. You ain't supposed to lie to your life coach. And literally, as I was thinking of names, that conversation popped in my head. Like, when you come to someone, a therapist, a doctor, a life coach, any, you know, I was about to say transition specialist, but anyone who's there to help you, truth is important. I know it's hard to tell the truth to somebody else if you haven't told it to yourself, but as you're telling the truth to someone else, your subconscious mind is hearing you tell the truth and is beginning to change that story. Okay, more on that in the million episodes I plan on doing. So the other reason why I really wanted to do a podcast is, listen, I'm a person. I don't have a million one-on-one spots. It's an investment to work with me. Not everybody's going to make that investment. And the podcast is here for you to like chew on it and decide what you want to do. You know, if you want to hop in a course, if you want to get on my wait list to be coached, you know, if you want to find your own life coach somewhere else, right? And as I expand into offering business coaching and a certification for coaches, then you might work with me professionally, which is super exciting, super damn exciting. So I took a couple of notes about, you know, what I wanted to say to you all in this, premiere episode. And, you know, usually I'm a little funnier, but today is a little bit of, I'm allowing it. I want y'all to allow wherever you are, but today is a little bit more of a, pensive. That's the word I'm looking for, pensive day. So let's talk about it.
Big and little things happen in our life all the time. But we stop believing that things will be okay and that we will be okay. So we begin to really look at our lives based on circumstances. And if you're going to be one of my homies, then you're going to understand that the way to look at our lives is less circumstantial. You know, it's circumstantial evidence. That's the shit that does not stand up in court, right? It's less, we're less going to look at our lives and what happens to us and look at ourselves as the grounding agent, the person, the that we have our own back, that no matter what, we're going to always get back to our authentic selves. We're going to grieve that passing of that person. We're going to grieve that relationship working out. We're going to grieve that job we once loved and we just hate it now. We're going to move past that. We're going to feel those feelings. And then we're not going to just look at all the things like that batter us back and forth in life. We're not even going to look at it in that way. We're going to know that things are going to happen. Small things that kind of erode at you over time. Bigger things that slap the shit out of you, right? I think of traumatic loss. I think of those people who lose multiple family members. My goodness, when I think about traumatic loss, I think about, I don't know the woman's name, but I think about the woman who was on that boat with family members and lost so many of her family members. But traumatic loss can be, I mean, honestly, it can be just one person. It can be the impact of the loss, right? But it's these things that happen to us. And our hope, we engage to believe that we have a future, that we have a present even, that we are going to be able to pick ourselves up. We don't have to understand why. We don't have to do it on our own. Hello, hire a life coach. But we will get back to a place where some of the things we used to do, we still do and we enjoy them. We don't have to know how, why, we don't have to know the five W's yet, but just a little pin light of hope that we're going to get back to a place of wanting to do a day. What I mean by doing a day is showing up and being here with all of us, with yourself, with the present, like being in your life. This is how this podcast is going to give back to you. We're going to chop those things up. Okay. When it comes to hope, we want to think about what's your hope's kryptonite? Like, what is it that gets stuck in your crawl? What is it that bothers you so much? That gives you information on what direction to heal in. Because here's the thing, so many of us have traumas and griefs that have stuck in our DNA since we were young, very young, 10 and under, that we still are living every single day. And when you make that conscious, when you realize you're dating men just like your dad, because your dad was unavailable, and you didn't feel seen, you didn't feel chosen, and you are on repeat. Can I get a witness? You are on repeat in your life. That is your healing. That's the universe pulling you back into that experience to let you do it different. And honey, that boy from 2001 to 2005, ooh, did he teach me? And I do it different now. Okay. I want to also alert you fellow good girls or fellow good boys or fellow non-gender conforming, non-binary, however you define yourself, being good, people pleasing, trying to good your way out of it is not going to work. That is not how hope works. I'm going to do all the things for the others, and then they're going to turn around and see how valuable and wonderful and amazing I am, and they're going to do that for me. No, that is not how it works. Now, there are reciprocal relationships, but most people who are trying to good themselves out of things, you know, good themselves into the lives of others, showing people how good they are, you don't usually attract those. You usually attract takers. usually attract the people who are willing to come up and grab your good and take your good for themselves. It is through having boundaries. It is through saying no. It is through deciding that I don't have to have all the people to like me. You know, there's this book called The Courage to Be Disliked, The Courage to Be Misunderstood, The Courage to Have to Apologize if I mess it up, The Courage to Let Someone Give Me a Silent Treatment or Ghost Me or whatever the new words, Breadcrumb Me, The Courage to Let People Walk Away, The Courage for You to Walk Away. When you let go of the good person, thinking that your good personness is going to define your life, and you really are honest about what you want, even when people don't get it, even when you disappoint people, that is where the hope comes from, baby. That is the hope. Okay. It's okay to not believe at first. You ain't got to believe me. But if it keeps coming back in your head, it's a truth that's trying to get planted in your subconscious mind. It's okay to be dissatisfied. It's okay to not understand. It's okay to not know what to do about it. But can I tell y'all what I do on this? I set a time limit. When something bothers me, I'll say, I'm gonna give myself 20 minutes to feel this. And then at the end of the 20 minutes, I say, do I need 20 more minutes? Most of the time I'm like, I'm good. I just needed to cry, or I'm good. I just need to be mad as hell. You know, I didn't know if I wanted to say mad as hell or mad as fuck, but both work, right? But I will give myself a time limit and come back and check on myself and see. But also, when we don't know the way, a guide helps. And that's what coaching is. This is what a coach is. A good coach is a guide. They help you to see the things you don't see. Bruh, you about to step on that copperhead. Bruh, you know that goes off a cliff. Oh, did you see those beautiful wildflowers? You're that wildflower that you haven't been noticing. You're that beautiful wildflower. Almost did a poem right there. All right. You're in good company, y'all. You are in good company. If you've made it to midlife, I call it midlife suck, where you're like, one day you wake up and shit ain't right. You don't understand why you're feeling this way. That is designed, that's spiritually designed for you to wipe away the crap and come back to the authentic version of you. So that feeling you have is like some shit you're trying to make happen that you don't really want to make happen. And the universe is like, yeah, I can't abide you on this. I can't stand by you on this. And you are saying to yourself, I'm lying to myself to try to make this relationship, to make this job, to act like I'm happy. You know, that's what the midlife suck is. It goes away when you are willing to feel uncomfortable by telling the truth. You're in good company. The universal language of humanity is trauma and joy. So looking at that trauma, being willing to not feel better at first, I promise you, you'll feel like a shit sandwich at first. Keeping with that trauma, staying by your side, being that good friend to you, using your good for you, which is how you're supposed to use it. You need to good yourself before you take the good out to everybody else. If you stick with that, you can look at that trauma and you can decide what you want to do with it. It could take a long time. It might take 5 minutes. You'll never know if you don't look at it. And let me just say this. You can have trauma and still have joy. You can have grief and still laugh. I see people, how many funerals have I been to where people have laughed, or the repast where people have laughed, or there's laughter when we think of a memory? Those two things can exist at one time. We don't have to heal all of our trauma to get to the good life. No, the good life is making the steps to heal the trauma. That is the good life. And as you continue to make that a habit of looking at your trauma and deciding what you want to do with it. And what I recommend you do with it is work with it until it dissolves. It can dissolve. There's your hope. Let me tell you this. If you did not know, the things that have hurt you the worst, can dissolve. They can go away. They can be put in a place. They can show you back to yourself. And there can be joy along the way. It may not be, but it can be. Life can be disappointing. I got a list of disappointments. Life can be disappointing, but I recommend you commit to seeing all the ways that it's not disappointing too. Life can be disappointing. It's also not disappointing when your nephew tells you a corny joke, or when you run into a friend you've been thinking about at, you know, the grocery store, or when you go on a walk. Today was a perfect day. I walked. Y'all, I don't like walking in the summer in the 70, like 76, but I got up this morning and it was beautiful. It rained a little bit on me. The breeze was there. It was 76 degrees. And I literally said to myself, you know, I have my ass on my shoulders about the temperature in the summer. I prefer the 60s. I prefer running in the 30s, in the 40s, in the 50s. But I was like, this is so beautiful. And now I can rewrite my brain. And when I look on my phone, because I stalk my weather app, when I look on my phone, it says 76, I can still get out there and have an experience because I have rewired my brain. And that's the thing about disappointments. We don't have to, everything happens for a reason, they say. We ain't got to do that, right? You don't even have to do that. But you can just realize that alongside of disappointment, there's some other things that are happening that aren't disappointing. And usually we let disappointment run the show. And I want to teach you how to look at that disappointment and also take in the full landscape, the full emotional landscape, feeling all your feelings. Okay. You're going to learn how to be tolerant of not being satisfied right away, of sticking in that to see what's on the other end of that, because that's where hope is. Okay. This is the last one. You can borrow hope from other people. You can borrow belief from other people. You can look at the way someone sees you for other people. I'm going to tell y'all this quick story. So I was looking at my naked self in the mirror the other day, and I was like, ooh, naked self, Kim, you looking fine. And I have an hourglass figure, and thanks, Mom. Thanks. The hips. Thanks, Mom. The waist. Thanks, Mom. So I've been on this weight loss journey, and I looked in the mirror and I saw how my hips and my waist were pulling apart from each other. And that hourglass was coming in like, bam, boom, bap, boo, bap. It was like, and I was like, and it reminded me of a story back when I lived in New York. This is before 9/11. And I was at, I'm name dropping. No, I'm not going to say the name. I was at a rapper's house. He's a well-known rapper. And was a bunch of us there, and they decided they wanted to go to the club. And that was my Earth Mother phase. So I know I had on a flowing skirt and a short natural. And, you know, I was Erykah Badu in it. What was that? That was 2000, 2001. So that is about right. And Jill Scott in it. And I was like, well, I don't really have anything to wear. And he was like, yeah, I think my mom, and by the way, this is a New York mom, so he spicy. Like, he was like, I think my mom has a dress. And I was like, your mom is a little thing. Now, back then, I was, you know, even smaller than now. He said, no, I think I have something for you. So he dug in the closet, pulled out this dress, y'all. It was tiny. I said, okay. I put the dress on. And, you know, went to the bathroom, put the dress on, came back out. And he was like, damn, you got a Coke bottle figure. I had no idea you had a figure like that. And it was really interesting because most of what men have said about me, I already knew. And yeah, like I knew I had an hourglass. But I was having this whole other experience. And in that moment, he basically said to me something that kind of made me think. I still think about it now when I put on clothes. I'm not an earth mother anymore. I like my clothes to be fitted. I like to show my little Coke bottle. Okay. But it was just this experience of me seeing in him seeing me in a way I hadn't seen myself. That's barring things from other people. If people think you are the kindest person, if people think you are, wonderful at doing this, if you inspire people, if people see how your seriousness, helps them get to whatever, what it doesn't matter, borrow their belief. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to borrow something from people, borrow their hope, borrow the way they see you, if they love you. And if they really see you, especially when you're having a difficult time seeing yourself in the midlife suck transforms. Hope is the easiest way to do that. Like, yeah, okay, you're going to do some work. Granted, you're going to do some work. But beginning to see things as they really are. So yeah, I loved that guy seeing me in a way that I hadn't really seen myself since, I don't know, early college or whenever, like trying on an identity. It fit. I accepted. I knew that woman. I didn't look in the mirror and say, ooh, look at my Coke bottle. I was like, oh, okay, the dress will work. It's fine. So barring the ways people see us sometimes is helpful, especially if it gives us an experience of ourselves that we either haven't been able to locate in a while, or we're reminded of, or it's a new experience and we want to get to know that experience. Y'all wanted me to say the rapper's name. I was not saying the rapper's name, and he is a well-known rapper. Anyway, the point is, I'm going to send him this podcast so he can laugh about it. The point is that we are allowed to engage hope again. Y'all, if you want to change your life, this is the way. Just because you thought you were going to end up with this person and it did not work out. Do you really think the universe only works in that one dude being the love of your life? Really? Do you really think the universe can't give you a child in other ways? It doesn't have to be biological. Really? I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying don't feel your feelings. Do you really think you're only supposed to love one job and they lay you off and that's the only job you're supposed to love? Really? Y'all, the house you love. I know someone's who they love their home and it burned down. I know they probably still think about that home they love, but they've made other homes that they love. We've got to decide to not live in a hope lack, but live in a hope full, right? This is the conversation. So your homework, you got homework this week, is to talk to your homies, talk to your people, talk to them about their experience of hope, okay? Think about your experience of hope. Look around and see the hope. You know, like I was obsessed with Mount St. Helens. You know, they had a volcanic eruption. I was an SRA girl. You remember, I don't know if you all remember, I'm not going to call the brand, but where there were these little, it was for reading comprehension. So you read these stories and you answered these questions. And one of them was on, or either Weekly Reader, I know I went, was on Mount St. Helens. And one of the things about Mount St. Helens, I'm not going to get into the whole story. You two can do that for you. But after Mount St. Helens erupted, and, you know, obviously there's devastation from lava and all these things, and there was loss of life, unfortunately, but there was like a rebirth of the mountain. Like there was wildlife that came back, and there was vegetation that came back, and there was all those things. That to me is hope summed up. Like when things are so difficult, when you don't think you're going to make it through, you make it through anyway, and you giving yourself the credit that you did it. I cannot tell you how many times in my life, I really believe hope has saved me more than anything else. And I want you to look at that in your life, okay? Ooh, we did the first episode. Now, y'all, I've got literally come up with 7 years of podcast topics. Every week I come up with more, literally 7 years. So I want you on this journey with me. I want you back with me next week. Look at Wednesdays, five, see, I'm going to eat these words, but I want to say it's going to be Wednesday, 5 a.m. Eastern time. The podcast will drop. It might be earlier than that, but definitely the podcast will drop 5 a.m. Eastern time by then. And I want you back. I want you going to my Facebook and, you know, Instagram and leaving YouTube comments and all that. And I just want you to take in the things I'm saying, and I hope they change your life. We did it. We did it. We did. I did it. I did it. Okay. Y'all have a good one. I will see you next week.
Are you feeling what you just heard? Good, good. Repeat after me. You don't have to figure it out on your own again anymore. I'm here to help. Head over to KimArrington.com and download my free video series dedicated to getting you feeling your best right now. Look around. There's some good stuff waiting on you. Got questions? Well, we're always talking on the socials, so find me on YouTube, Insta, and the book. Don't be shy, y'all. Go listen to another episode or join me here the same time next week. Finally, don't keep good shit to yourself. Share this with a homie that could use some help too. Remember, we're not lying to ourselves anymore. We're not lying to our doctors. And you damn sure don't lie to your life coach. Thank you.